get ready to smile again with Radio's home folks, Crisco's Vic and Sage. Brought to you by Procter & Gamble.
Isn't it grand? Crisco's running another big contest.
Yes, I know. I've already sent in a couple of entries. I'm not missing any opportunity to win that $2,500 first prize.
$2,500? Why, with that much money, I could fix up our whole house like new.
Lady, just think of the things you could do if your entry won that big cash prize in Crisco's second and final double cash contest. Besides that top prize of $2,500, there's 25 prizes of $100 and 100 prizes of $10 each. Yes, 126 cash prizes. And remember this, you can double any prize you win. Yes, just submit your entries on the official contest blanks available only at your Crisco dealers. Or, now listen carefully, if your dealer doesn't happen to have those blanks, here's another way to double any prize you win. Write your entries on plain pieces of paper and have your dealer sign his name and address on each entry. Either way will double the amount of any prize you win. It'll double that big first prize of $2,500 to $5,000. Now, to enter, write the fifth line to a jingle that's on those official contest blanks. The first four lines go like this. For cakes, pies, and frying each day, most any wise housewife will say, for cakes, pies, and frying each day, most any wise housewife will say, use Crisco, it's sure, so creamy and pure. Use Crisco, it's sure, so creamy and pure. Da-da-da, da-da-da-da-dum-day. Now, that's where you just put a last line, see? Maybe something like, and your meals get a hearty okay. And just remember, your last line must end in a word that rhymes with day. Now, doesn't that sound easy? Why, the ideas will come fast once you try cooking with that wonderful new Crisco and serve your family the delicious Crisco cakes and pies and fried food you get. So you won't have any trouble at all getting ideas for last lines to Crisco's jingle. Oh, and say, don't hold back on those entries. Send in all those last lines. The more the merrier, because each additional entry means another opportunity to win one of those swell cash prizes. Now, here's what you do. With each last line you write for Crisco's jingle, mail your name and address and a Crisco label, any size or facsimile. Address, Vic and Sade, Cincinnati, Ohio. That's Vic and Sade, Cincinnati, Ohio. This contest is open to residents of the United States and Canada. Entries will be judged solely on originality, suitability, and aptness. Decision of the judges is final, and duplicate prizes will be awarded in case of ties. Remember, your Crisco dealer has official entry blanks with complete rules and the Crisco jingle printed on them. You'll double the amount of any prize you win if your entry's on that official blank. Or, if you write your entry on a plain piece of paper and get your Crisco dealer to sign his name and address on it. So, see your Crisco dealer today, will you? Don't miss this grand opportunity to win and double your winnings in Crisco's Double Cash Contest. Well, sir, the evening meal has been over only a little while as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook, equitably dividing section to the newspaper. Vic has just made a casual observation, which his wife apparently finds upsetting. While we hear her say,
why didn't you tell me before?
I saw no particular necessity for it. Matter of fact, I considered it such a trivial matter it slipped my mind. I knew we weren't going to the picture show tonight. I knew we weren't playing cards with Fred and Lucy.
Oh, a whole batch of company coming and you don't even mention it to your wife.
Since when have Steve Chestbutter and A.J. Spence been company?
Well, no, but just the same. How long you suppose they'll stay?
Oh, an hour and a half. It's a lodge committee meeting, see. I don't imagine it'll require more than an hour and a half on the outside to wind up what we have to do.
I think you're getting forgetful in your old age.
The same shoe fits your foot, don't it? You never said anything about Miss Brighton and Willard dropping in tonight.
I figured the same way you did. I knew we weren't going to the moving picture show and knew we weren't going to play any 500.
Well, the situation doesn't seem to have any disastrous angles.
When your lodge fellas coming?
7:30, quarter to 8.
That's when Miss Brighton and Willard said they'd probably stop by.
Oh,
I suppose you'll take your company out in the kitchen, hmm?
Well, we'll want privacy, of course. After all, we're working on lodge stuff. Chestbutter and Spence aren't paying any social call.
They might feel like they're getting the dirty end of the stick getting shoved out in the kitchen.
Oh, no. Chestbutter and Spence are good fellas. Common as old shoes. They'd be just as happy if I took them down cellar. The telephone's ringing.
It'd be comical if Fred didn't have to put in overtime at the foundry after all, wouldn't it? And they want to come play cards?
Oh, I imagine one of Rush's pals generally is.
Hello? Oh, yes, Miss Donahue. No, all through and got my dishes washed and wiped and in the pantry. Not at all. Oh, really? Uh-huh. Oh, that's too bad. Uh-huh. Why, sure. Sure. No. Oh, of course. Send him over. No, now he can waltz right upstairs and lie down in Rush's bed. Sure. All right, fine. Fine, Miss Donahue. All righty. Goodbye.
Brother Donahue paying us a visit?
Yes, her sister and kids from Pontiac been visiting today, and sister's got a headache and don't feel like driving home, so they're going to stay all night. The two oldest kids' bedtime ain't until 9:30 or 10 o'clock, and Mr. Donahue's got a Kansas City freight drag at 11, and he just come in off in a freight drag at 6, so he wants to catch a little sleep.
I hear some interloper in the kitchen.
I said he was welcome to come lay down on Rush's bed and nap.
Hey,
I'm always glad
just
to
a
do
second,
the
job.
Hey. Hello, Vic.
Well.
We got still more guests.
Come on in, Uncle Fletcher.
I was afraid I might bust in on you while you was eating supper.
Oh, finished supper long ago.
Bye. Saw Rush out in front just now.
Did you?
Uh-huh. Evening, Vic.
Evening, sir. You look healthy, hearty, happy, and handsome.
Yes, yes, I do. Hope you don't mind me coming in the back door without knocking, Sadie.
Of course not. You're not company.
No, I'm not company or anybody, but Paul likes to give warning before he busts in on people. The way I figure, though, is if I did knock on the back door, you'd have to get up and walk all the way out in the kitchen and let me in.
Sure.
Take a chair, Uncle Fletcher.
Thanks. Staying home this evening, are you?
Uh-huh.
Fine.
Miss Brighton and Willard are dropping past after a bit for a little visit, and Vic's got a couple of men from the lodge coming by.
Company, huh?
Oh, not really. Miss Brighton and Willard are old, comfortable, easy friends, and Vic's callers are just looking in to talk over lodge business a while.
Hope I haven't gone to work and put my foot in it.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you. Maybe I took too much on myself. My landlady's my daughter and her man were at our house for supper this evening. You haven't met him, I guess, Sadie.
No. Heard you talk about him considerable, though. Mr. and Ms. Upscott?
Yes. Abbott and Florence. They're at our house for supper tonight, and we all got talking. Florence said she'd like to
another
meet.
Another interloper in the kitchen, kiddo. Excuse me, Uncle Fletcher.
Mr. Donahue. Yes?
Just me, Mom.
All right.
Uncle Fletcher's in here, George.
Yes, I met him outside. Join you in just a minute.
He's a good boy.
Yeah.
Where'd you put the box of graham crackers, Mom?
What?
Where'd you put the box of graham crackers?
You're not eating already.
No, I'm just wondering where the graham crackers are.
They only just finished supper half an hour ago.
He's a good boy. Rush is all right.
What'd you start to say about Miss Keller's daughter and her man?
I hope I never took too much on myself.
Why?
Well, we were having supper and talking about different junk. Fort said she'd like to meet my niece I bragged so much about. And Abbott said he would, too. And I guess I told tales out of school because I...
Invited him over.
Beg pardon, Vic?
I finished your sentence for you.
Fine.
I said you invited your landlady's kids over.
That's exactly what I've done. You see, Everett and Fort come right up Virginia Avenue here on their way home, and I said, I bet you people be pleased if they drop you the
minute.
Oh, hello, Rush. You're the same fella I said hello to out in front a minute ago, ain't you?
Yep.
Fine. No, Sadie, we were all sitting around a supper table, and Fort says, I'd like to meet your niece, Sadie, and her family you talk so much about.
Well, they're welcome as can be.
And I said, well, I'll bet they'd like to meet you and Abbott.
Sure.
I said, you go right past Beckham Sadie's house there on Virginia Avenue. Why don't you stop in on your way home?
Well, you tell them exactly right.
You people got other company, though.
More the merrier.
Fine.
Mom, I couldn't find that box of graham crackers.
Are you telling me you're hungry?
They're for the kids after one.
No, Florence has never been here to be talked so much
kids?
About.
Excuse me, Uncle Fletcher.
Fine.
What kids?
Bluetooth and Leland and Vernon. Don't you remember telling
oh,
me?
Oh, my.
What new complication is
this? I give him permission to invite kids in to study algebra.
Mm-hmm. Bluetooth Johnson, Leland Richards, and Vernon Pagel.
Bluetooth, Leland, and Vernon are good boys. Bluetooth, Leland, and Vernon are all right.
Mr. Donahue's coming over to take a nap in your bed.
Yeah?
He can't do any sleeping with you four roustabouts up there.
I give him our bed, see?
He generally balks at using our bed. Figures he's making more housework and stuff for me if he uses the big bedroom.
Well, what alternative is there?
None that I can think of. I'd forgot all about them three boys coming to study algebra.
No, Sadie, we were sitting around the supper table there and I was telling Florence and Edward about...
Well, you've done exactly right. We'll enjoy meeting Mr. and Ms. Upscotch.
Uh-huh.
Well, rush with Mr. Donahue upstairs, you kids will have to be quiet.
Okay.
I mean that now. No roughhousing, no wrestling matches, no seeing who can twist the other one's leg around
somebody. Telephone
some...
is your kid. Telephone is your
kid. I'll get it.
Probably Smelly Clark wanting to join the algebra game.
Smelly's a good boy.
Hello. Oh, yes, Fred.
Hey.
Oh, ha-ha. Well, Fred, I don't guess we can play any 500 this evening. It just so happens... What? Oh, I see. Well, Mercy, in that case, you come too. Sure. All right, Fred. All right. Goodbye.
Don't tell me our lonely evening is to be brightened up with company.
Fred found out he didn't have to put in overtime at the foundry, and Ruthie was over at Evan's house, and he got in touch with her there and told her he'd meet her here. She's already on her way.
Hmm?
Hey. Oh, as long as she was coming, I said he might as well come.
Hmm.
Well, we got company this evening, Uncle Fletcher.
Hi.
Let's name over our company.
All right. Steve Chestbutter and A.J. Spence in the kitchen.
Vernon Pagels, Leland Richards, and Bluetooth Johnson in my bedroom.
Donahue in our bedroom.
Miss Bryden and Willard, Mr. and Ms. Upscotch, Fred and Ruthie, and Uncle Fletcher down here.
Makes 13 guests all told.
And counting the three of us, it makes a grand total of 16 people in the house.
Well, like Uncle Fletcher says, fine.
Beg pardon, Sadie?
I say fine.
Fine.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And there we leave Chris Goes, Vic and Sade until the next time.
Can you use $2,500? Remember, Chris Goes second and final double cash contest offers a $2,500 grand prize and 125 other cash prizes. See your Chris Goes dealer for official contest blanks with complete rules and instructions on how to double any prize you win in Chris Goes double cash contest. And don't forget to listen to Chris Goes, Vic and Sade the next time. This is Mel Allen speaking.